So it's just a very sweet verse from Chaitanya Chaitamrita, without a purport, but the verse is in honor of Srimati Sita. So, word by word and translation. Pativrata, chaste woman, Shiromani, the topmost, Janaka Nandini, is the daughter of King Janaka, Jagatera, of all the three worlds, Mata, the mother, Sita, Sita, Ramera, of Lord Ramchandra, Grihini, wife. So again, today marks the auspicious appearance day of two divine personalities, Sita Devi, the consort of Lord Ram, and Janava Devi, the wife of Lord Nityananda. And in addition, in her own right, she was an acharya of the whole Gaudiya Sampradaya after the departure of Lord Ram. But first, a few words about Srimati Sita Devi, who was an extraordinary and whose appearance was quite extraordinary and was an indication of her divinity. So her father was the illustrious Janaka Maharaj, one of the 12 Mahajans. And being a great devotee of the Lord, he was transcendentally situated. But because he was the king of Mitali, which is a subdivision in the Bihar province in India, he had to teach his subjects how to perform their prescribed duties. He was a disciple of the sage Ashtavakra. So this Ashtavakra was so called because his body was deformed in eight areas, kind of twisted. He had been cursed by his own father, Kahoda. Now, I don't know the whole story. I just know that this rascal father cursed his son and then he was deformed. But he was a great sage, and he was the spiritual master of King Janaka. And under his tutelage, King Janaka attained self-realization, and he earned the title Rajarshi. So this Raja, king, rishi, sage, so Rajarshi, our royal sage. And he was also called Vaideha. So Vai means the without Deha body, means one who is liberated from the body. So this is an alleged story. I say alleged because it's from an ISKCON site, but it didn't actually say where the actual, like, where did it come from? And we know that sometimes there's different ways or different descriptions of appearances, disappearance, and activities of great personalities. And partly that is because it's not just they happen one time and that's it. It's a continual thing. And in different yugas, they may appear, and it may be slightly different according to the yuga. So this may be one of those cases. But this is an alleged, I'm saying alleged because I, again, it's from an ISKCON website, but I don't know where they got it. But Narada Muni became curious to know how Janaka could be both a king and a sage at the same time. So he prompted an audience with the king, and he was posing him the following questions, like, you know, great king, being a sage calls for detachment and renunciation from all things. And you're a king. And you're living amidst opulence, your wealth, grandeur. So how does that qualify you for being a sage? And what makes you Vaideha, liberated from the body? You know. So he asked him, please, you know, would you enlighten me? And Janaka answered that, you know, you've asked these questions to test me. So I'm going to try to enlighten you through a small task. And he told him to take a bowl. Had this bowl, and it was filled with water right to the top. Take this bowl and walk around the palace with it in your hands and return here. You're not to spill a single drop of water, or neither can you use your divine powers during this task. So Narada picked up the bowl. He started to walk around. And it just took him a few steps to realize how challenging of a task this was. The water right to the brim, and it made it difficult to balance the bowl and walk at the same time without spilling. And the palace, being the palace of the king, was quite vast. And finally, he finished the task. He came back to the king to get his answers. The king said, you look tired. Please be seated. Before I answer, I have a few questions for you. So the king asked him, please recollect everything you noticed or experienced during your walk. Did you see the courtesans dancing? Did you listen to the palace musicians playing their music? Did you touch and taste the incredible mouth-watering dishes at the royal kitchen? Did you smell the sweet scents of the flowers in the queen's garden? Narada answered flat out, I don't recollect noticing or experiencing anything or anybody because I never took my eyes off this bowl. And the king replied, therein lies the answer to your questions, great sage. Although I live constantly under and amidst great opulence, great wealth and grandeur as a king, I have learned to renounce and detach myself from all of it, just like a sage would denounce and denounce worldly things, just as you did during your task walking around the palace with the bowl. However, I still perform my kingly duties as karma yoga because these duties are my dharma, my path to self-realization. And thus I'm simultaneously both a sage and a king. So that was King Janaka. He continued, it's through the five senses that a human body craves for experiences and the mundane material and sensual experiences. So I've liberated my body from these five senses and I only focus on Atma Tattva, our realization of the soul. And this is what made me Vaideha. I have now answered your questions. So as is often the case with great saintly kings, King Janaka Maharaj, he didn't have any children. So the Brahmins suggested that he do a hola yajna by taking a plow and drawing a line around the palace with the plow. And they told him when the plow would get stuck in the mud, and every time it gets stuck in the mud, you have to donate gold to the priests. So in this way, you're giving in charity and you're getting blessings to beget children. Simultaneously, this is happening. So it so happened that in one place, as he's trying to drag this plow, it wouldn't move. It got stuck. Now, up until that point, when it would get stuck, he would distribute some gold in charity and then move along with the plow. But this time, it just wouldn't move. And so the people who were there with him started digging around. He was digging around. And at first it seemed like they'd come upon like a very large boulder, big rock. But it turned out that he had unearthed a golden casket in which he found a beautiful baby girl. And land that is plowed by a yoke, it's called Sita. And that's how she got the name. He named her baby Sita. And with the arrival of the baby, the king's good fortune increased because his queen then got pregnant and gave birth to another daughter who was named Urmila. So the royal couple brought up their children with great affection. They were given a very good education. And the two girls, by their noble qualities and good behavior and intelligence, endeared themselves to one and all. It was considered that they were ideal princesses. Sita became very well known for her beauty and her devotion. She could often be seen absorbed in deity, in serving a deity of the Lord, of Lord Suryavamsa. And when she was on her own, she would enact pastimes, various forms of the Lord, and relish his pastimes. Okay. So in this way, I'm hoping it's not mine. Okay. In this way, she revealed to those God, Kali Yuga curse. A curse and a blessing, these cell phones. So anyway, in this way, she revealed to those close to her that she was not an ordinary young princess. So her fame, her beauty also became well known. And soon it was time for her to be betrothed for marriage. So as it was with Chatur kings in those days, the princesses would have a ceremony, swayambara ceremony. Is anybody of the ladies here who are married, did you have a swayambara ceremony? No, I'm not being funny. I was wondering if that kind of goes on or not. Anyways, that's in that ceremony, the princess can choose her own spouse. Oh, so a little bit different from the arranged marriage. So the Kshatriya kings of those days, they had this system, and there would be a challenge for the hand of the princess to see if, you know, which ideal victor would become her husband. So it happened that King Janaka possessed a bow that Lord Shiva had used to kill the demon Tripasura. And this bow was kept in the palace and it was worshipped by everyone. And it was so heavy, it was said it took 300 soldiers to lift it. And still, sometimes they couldn't move it. Now, Sita would also worship this bow. And in order to clean the surface where the bow was placed, Sita would just lift it up, like a plaything. So when Maharaj Janaka heard about this incident, he was really amazed. And he decided that to prove their worthiness for the hand of his daughter, at her Swayamvara ceremony, the ones who were proposing to marry her would have to prove their worthiness by picking up this bow and stringing it. So it was happened, the challenge was sent out, like the man who conquers the Shiva bow will get to wed Sita. So many noble princesses from several kingdoms came. They were aspiring for the hand of this beautiful princess. But when they came in front of this bow, they were so intimidated by this mighty bow, they simply and walked away. They just didn't want to humiliate themselves. In the meantime, sage Vishwamrita was accompanied by his disciples, Lord Ramchandra and Lakshman, and they arrived at Mitala. And, of course, they were the sons of King Dasarath. And they had been with their spiritual master. They had conquered many Rakshasas. And King Janaka felt very happy by their arrival. Vishwamrita told Ram to pray to Lord Shiva and then take the bow. So Sri Ram bowed to Vishwamrita. He offered his respects. He prayed for the grace of Lord Shiva, and then he raised the bow. He thrust an arrow in it with great ease. And as he was like bending the bow, it broke. The same bow that no other personality aside from Lord Shiva and Sita had ever before lifted. And he just snapped it. So Sita was then understood, and actually in her heart, she wanted Lord Ram as her husband. But this hadn't been expressed. Of course, being the goddess of fortune connected to the Lord himself, he could also understand this. But during this Leela, there was no indication. So when the bow broke, Maharaj Janaka indicated to Sita she should take the garland and offer it to Ram, thus indicating their marriage, imminent marriage. So the news was rushed to King Dasarath. He heard about it and immediately came with an entourage. And the marriage of Ram and Sita went on with, was solemnized in a grand manner. And also at the same time, her sister Urmila was wedded to Lakshmana. So once, while in the forest, before Sita was kidnapped, Lord Ram had invoked Agni Dev, and he'd entrusted Sita Devi in the care of Agni Dev. And he did this in order to fulfill the Leela for which he had descended on this earth. And in the place, there was an illusory Sita remained. So, in fact, when Ravana kidnapped Sita, the truth is he'd only taken this Chaya Sita, Chaya meaning shadow. It was not the real Sita. Because it said if the real Sita was there, due to her fierce purity and her sanctity, Ravana would have been immediately burned. But Sita wanted to give credit of saving her to her husband. And the Lord wanted to kill the demons on the planet. And that was only possible through a war. Yeah. Even when Sita was so-called imprisoned in Lanka, and Hanuman came, he managed to get over there, and he was able to free her. He could have freed her. But she would only accept her freedom at the hand of Lord Ram. You know, that was her chastity. So there's a saying, this Vinashkale Viprit Buddhi. It's some kind of quote, probably famous saying, and it means that the time of one's destruction, at that time, one is not able to think properly. I mean, if you've ever been in a horrific situation, you know it's very difficult to remain equipoised and to think properly. So that was the situation with Ravana when Lord Ram came to execute him. Even though the wife of Ravana had begged him, please release this girl. She wasn't jealous of Sita. Rather, she knew Sita would be the death of Ram and the end of the dynasty. So please release her. Come to your senses. And even his councilmen were saying the same thing, but Ravana was so foolhardy that he just wouldn't listen to good advice. And that led to his destruction and the destruction of the entire demonic society at the hands of Lord Ram and his army. Because that was the inconceivable pastime. So there was this war. The war had gone on. Ram was disposed of. And after the war, instead of accepting Sita back, Lord Ram instructed Sita to prove her chastity by entering fire. And this wasn't done because Lord Ramchandra had some doubts about her pristine character. He was well aware that the real Sita was under the protection of Agni Dev. But it was to curtail the possibility of others questioning her chastity and to get back the real Sita. So all of these pastimes are simply incredible. Nothing is just as it may seem from the face of it. Sometimes when I start contemplating all the pastimes of the various great personalities, I get this image of a plate of spaghetti. You know how everything is all tangled up. So kind of in that way, everything is all tangled up. And it takes the touch of the Lord and his pure devotees to make everything understood. So when Sita came to the court, now then a little later, so a little later there was a yajna, and during this yajna, you know, a king has to do many yajnas, in fact. But the sages have said, you know, you're a king, and you can't do these yajnas on your own. Your wife has to be there. But the wife wasn't there. So then he was instructed to make an image of Sita to use during these yajnas, which was done. And happened to be during one of these yajnas, Lav and Kush, who were the sons of Lord Ram, they happened to pass by, and they were singing the Ramayana, which they had learned from Valmiki while they were in the ashram. So this stole the hearts of all who were assembled there. And then they came to realize these were the sons of Lord Ram. So again, the real Sita was called to court to once again prove her chastity, so that the Lord may accept not only her, but his sons without criticism. So when Sita came to the court, she was accompanied by Valmiki Rishi. Valmiki Rishi proclaimed in front of everyone that Sita was pure, and they should accept his word on her behalf, because he'd never in his entire life spoken a lie. So why would he lie now? Sita is pure. But still, she was asked to prove herself. So thus, as an ultimate proof, she invoked Mother Bhumi, Mother Earth. And she requested Mother Earth, please take me back. Take me back. And Mother Bhumi opened up and took her back where she had originally appeared. And this was answering her prayers. And Sita again entered the earth, bringing her pastimes, her earthly pastimes, to an end. So this is one, as I said, there's sometimes different versions, and it's not that one is particularly right and one is particularly wrong, unless it's written by somebody who is not a realized soul. But in this case, this is one version. So in the presence of the Ramayana, no demon, in the presence of Ram, no demon was killed in the presence of Sita. What would happen, just like Suparnaka, she wasn't killed, but she was punished. Her nose was cut off. Jayanta was the son of Indra, and he assumed the form of a crow. And at the time, Lord Ram was lying with his head on Sita's lap, and he started, you know, attacking Sita. He was scratching on her chest. And Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Radha Gokulananda Sita Gora Nitai. So he was disturbing her, and when Ram woke up, he saw that Sita's chest was bleeding. So he took a blade of grass and he threw it at Jayant, just like a brahmastra. And this giant, this foolish son of Lord Indra, started running all around, and he could not find any place to hide because this brahmastra piece of grass would catch right up with him. And ultimately, he came to Sita, and he bowed down. Sita took his head and placed his head at the feet of Sri Ram, who forgave him. So this is an indication that when we take shelter of Srimati Sita Devi, she provides us with the shelter of Sri Ram. After the death of Ravana, Hanuman was like still pretty fiery, and he wanted to kill all the demons who had troubled Sita. But she told Hanuman, there was no fault in these servants because they had only obeyed the order of their master. So this is the mercy of Sita Maharani, that by taking shelter of her, we also get the shelter of Ram. And that's why the appearance day of Sita is very important for fallen souls. Another lesson, important lesson from Sita, was her separation from Ram due to her affection for a golden deer. So you all know how She was in at their hermitage during the exile, and there was some voices imitating Rakshasas, imitating I think it was Lakshman. Help, he needed help. And Sita told her husband, you go. He wasn't going. You go, you go. He didn't want to leave her. Anyway, there was a circle around the area, and she was told, keep within the confines of this circle around the hermitage. And yeah, there was a golden deer. I'm starting to get into the past thing a little mixed up. So there was a golden deer. She sees the deer. She said, I want that deer. Ram, please, give me that deer. And women can be very persuasive. That's one of the special shaktis of a woman. Can be very persuasive. Ram had no intention of leaving her, but she was so persistent. You know, so there was that line, okay, he's going to go. And he was leaving behind Lakshman. Don't go outside of the circle. But as things happened, Sita did go outside the circle when a so-called sage came and asked, pitifully asking for water. So-called sage, because it was no sage at all. It was actually Ravana. So from this, and of course, he's saying, bring it closer, bring it closer. You know, she's in there, going to bring the water. Bring it closer, bring it closer. And then he snatched her. So as soon as we separate ourselves from the Lord, we resume an unfortunate life of repeated birth and death. And in the case of Sita's separation, however, she was definitely not going to go through repeated birth and death. And there was a higher lila involved, which was the Vipram Lamba, the lila of separation. But that's not the case for us. Our separation is repeated birth and death. Sita Maharani Kijai. So, a few words about Sri Janava Devi. So there was Sri Surjara Sarakeli. He was a resident of Shaligram. And he had five brothers, Damodar, Jagannath, Goridas, Krishnadas, and Narsingha Chaitanya. And his father's name was Sri Kamsari Mishra, and his mother was Sri Kamala Devi. He received the title Sarakeli, as he used to keep accounts for the king of Goridesh. So I was trying to look up a little bit about how the Sarakeli relates to keeping accounts, but I couldn't find anything. But this is from Gaura Ganesh Gandipa, so from the Bhakti Ratnakar. So anyways, he had two daughters, and their name was Sri Vasudha and Sri Janavi. And Janava was the youngest. So in the Gaura Ganesh Dipika, it's stated that they are expansions of Varuni and Revati in Vrindavan. And of course, Varuni and Revati are in part of the pastimes of Lord Balaram. So the Surjara Sarakeli was described that he had a bodily effulgence like the sun. So the two lords, Gauranga and Nityananda, were very affectionate towards Surjadas. And seeing that his two daughters had reached the full bloom of their youth, the father began to contemplate their marriage. So thinking in this way, he fell asleep. And in his dream, he saw that in a very happy mood, he was in a happy mood, and he was presenting his two daughters to Nityananda Prabhu. And when he woke, having had such a wonderful dream, he began to float in an ocean of bliss. So in the morning, he told his dream to a Brahmana friend. He told him, I've seen in my dream that Nityananda Prabhu was none other than Baladev. His body effulgence was shining in all directions, and his body was decorated with various shining ornaments. on the other side of him, on each side of him, my two daughters appeared as Varuni and Revati. Now, if I cannot give my daughters to Nityananda in marriage, there is going to be no peace for me. So he confided to his friend in this way, and he sent his friend to the house of Shiva's Pandit in Navadvip. And the Brahmana came to Navadvip. He found that Nityananda Prabhu was actually staying at Shiva's Pandit's house. And the Brahmana explained everything in great detail to Shiva's Pandit. And later, at a proper time, he divulged all this news to Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu assured the Brahmana he would fulfill the desire of Shurja Das. And he sent the Brahmana back to Shaligram. So both Advaita Acharya and Shrivas Pandit were very happy for this news. And they urged that the marriage should take place as soon as possible. Sometimes I've heard that, I mean, even in the current time when you'll get the engagement today and practically speaking in 2 or 3 days the marriage occurs very quickly. So here it was as soon as possible. So the Brahmana in the meantime had returned to Shaligram and he delivered the auspicious news to Shurja Das, and he was of course overjoyed that his dream was coming true. In the village of Borgachi that lived a son of Raja Harihora, and his name was Sri Krishna Das, and he was a very dear and devoted friend of Lord Nityananda. And he offered to bear the expense for the wedding, and he wanted it conducted at his house. And it was going to be a very elaborate affair. So he brought Nityananda there, he began making all the necessary arrangements. In the meantime, Shrivas Pandit, Advaita Acharya, Chandrasekhar, Murari Gupta, and many, many other devotees arrived. And they began Harinam Sankirtan. That is the greatest decoration for any occasion, what to speak of a wedding. So Shurja Das's Pandit's brother, Sri Krishna Das, arrived at Bordachi, and then Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees accompanied him to Shaligram. And when Shurja Das, that the devotees, along with Nityananda, had arrived, he was just overwhelmed with great happiness, and he ran out to greet them. And he ushered them into his home, and he offered his dandavats to Lord Nityananda. Falling at his feet, his eyes were brimming with tears of ecstatic love. He actually caught hold of Nityananda's lotus feet, and he wanted to offer some suitable prayers. But he was so overcome with ecstatic emotions, he couldn't express anything. And Lord Nityananda, understanding everything wonderfully, sweetly embraced him, smiled, and he embraced him with great love. And then after worshipping the lotus feet of Nityananda, he offered his two daughters in marriage to him. The marriage ceremony was very auspiciously performed. Nityananda remained at Shaligram with his two newly wedded brides for a few days. And then thereafter he went to Sri Krishnadas's house in Borgachi, where he remained a couple of further days. In other words, he was doing a post-wedding tour where he was presenting his brides to all of the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in these different places. So then he went to Sri Krishnadas's house at Borgachi. He remained a couple days. And then the next he went to Navadvip along with his two wives. And he offered his obeisances at the lotus feet of Satchimata. And Satchimata was extremely pleased to see them. And she showered great affection on the two brides. Then other Vaishnavas also began to show great affection. And then taking leave of Satchimata, Nityananda came to Advaita Acharya's home in Shantipur. And Srimati Sita Thakurani, not the Sita here, but the wife of Advaita Acharya, began to float in an ocean of bliss after seeing Vasudha and Janava Devi. And she put their heads on her lap, and she was so affectionate to the new brides. So they stayed there for a while, and Nityananda then... they came to Udaron Datta Thakur's house at Saptagram. He was very persistent. You must come, you must come. And there they all engaged in a festival of Sankirtan for a few days, after which Nityananda Prabhu and his wives went to Kardaha. So this is, again, from the 12th Taranga of Bhakti Ratnakar. Then after the disappearance of Sri Advaita Acharya, the disappearance of Nityananda Prabhu, and Srivas Pandit and other associates of Sri Gaurasundar, these three especially empowered manifestations of the Lord Mahaprabhu, namely Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Thakur, and Shyamananda Pandit, they continued to flood the land with the Harinam Sankirtan. And Sri Nityananda Prabhu Shakti, Sri Janava Mata, she was especially requested by these three Acharyas to be present at the celebrated first Gaur Purnim festival, which was conducted by them at Keturigram under the patronage of Narottam Das Thakur's cousin, Raj Shantos Datta. So present with her were Sri Krishna Das, Mishra, her uncle, Minakitan Ramdas, Murari Chaitanya, Janadas, Sri Parameshwari Das, Balaram Das, Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur, and other really dear, dear devotees of Lord Nityananda. So first, Janava came to her uncle, Gauri Das. He had a temple in Kalna, and she was very nicely received there by Hirday Chaitanya Prabhu. And there she was cooking for the two lords, Nitai Gauranga. And in the evening, they had a festival of Sankirtan. When she came to Navadvip, she realized she wouldn't be able to see Srimati Sachi Devi anymore. And she became very sad, and she was crying. And then Sripati and Srinidhi came to console her and took her to their home. But again, she was plunged into an ocean of grief due to the pangs of separation of not being able to see Srivas Pandit and Malini Devi. At Shantipur, Sri Achyutananda and Gopal tried to console her in the absence of Advaita Acharya and Sita Thakurani. And then she came by way of Kantak Nagar to Taliya Budarigram, where Sri Govinda Kaviraj had received her with all respect. And the next day, the party set out for Katuri. And when they reached the banks of the Padma River, they found that Raj Shantos Datta had already made arrangements for them to cross the river, and from the opposite bank there were palanquins waiting to take them to Keturigram. So this was where the great festival at the time, this is the time the great festival had occurred, this festival of Keturi, the first actual Gaur Purnim festival. And it was Sita Devi who was personally cooking with her own divine hands, and she was serving the prasadam. But after this festival, she decided to go to Vrindavan. And one day, while she was bathing in the Jamuna, a small black hand grabbed the end of her cloth as she was getting out of the water. And when she looked, she didn't see anyone, but she heard Gopinath speaking to her. And he told her, "I want to come and stay with you. One day, while you're taking bath in the Ganga, I'm going to come and join you." So, I mean, just hearing this, for me, there's like shivers in the back. Can you imagine Sita Devi? You know. So after passing some days in great happiness in Sri Vrindavan Dham, Janava Mata set out on the path back to Gaurdesh. First she came to Katuri, and then to Budarigram. And when she was there, she arranged the marriage of Gorganda Das with Sri Hemalata. Hemalata was the daughter of Shama Das Chakravarti, the brother of Bansi Das. So after that marriage, Sri Ishwari, this is what she was also called, Ishwari entrusted the worship of Shyam Sundar to Boganda Das. And then she came to Ekachatra. So Ekachatra is the birthplace of her worshipful Lord Sri Nityananda. And from there she passed through Kantak Nagar, Jaligam, Navadvip, Ambika Kalna, Saptagram, and she finally arrived back at Kardaha. So as she was bathing one day in the Ganga, something touched her body while she was in the river. And she lifted that object out of the water, and she beheld the most enchanting form of Sri Gopinath. And with great tears of love coming from her eyes, beholding this beautiful form. So this deity is still being worshipped by the descendants of Ganga Devi, the daughter of Janava and Nityananda. And this is at Jirat, Hooghly. So Prabhupada described there's a rail station at Jirat between Bandel and Kalna station. And from that Jirat station, one should proceed by rickshaw to Gopinath Tala. Prabhupada Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote in his Kalyan Kalpataru, having fallen into the ocean of material existence, I'm completely distraught and filled with anxiety, floating in this ocean without any refuge. I'm trying to find a shore, but without any success. I'm losing all hope of even finding it. What activity will bring me there? Or what knowledge will bring me there? Conducting some fruit of sacrifices, engaging in some mystic yoga process, or conducting austerities. None of these have any power or effect. I'm getting very weak. I cannot swim much longer. Now in this extremely dangerous situation, will no one come to save me? Alas, to make matters worse, having caught sight of the crocodile of worldly affairs, I'm petrified with fear, and the current of lust is always turning the water. I can barely keep my head above the water. The winds carrying the results of activities performed in previous lives is blowing and making the waters so choppy. I'm losing my mind, and now I'm simply crying frantically. I can't see anyone who will help me out of this ocean of woes. Oh, my dear Sri Janava Devi, please have compassion on your servant and bless me with some of your divine qualities. Please extend me the rope of your mercy and alleviate this intense pain that I'm experiencing. I have taken shelter of the boat of your lotus feet, and I have full faith that you can cross me, that you can carry me across this ocean. You are the divine energy of Lord Nityananda and the bestower of Krishna Bhakti. Please bless me at your feet, which can bestow all one's desires. You have already delivered so many despicable creatures. Now today, here is one more destitute and hateful wretch, having come to your lotus feet. Thus pleaded Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we have the who's who in Gaur Lila, Krishna Lila. Associates of their lordships, Sri Sri Gaur Nithai, are in the same spiritual identities in the eternal pastimes of the lordships of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And Srila Narottam Das Thakur describes the full glories of the associates of their lordships in his book Pratana, in the song called Shravana Sri Gaura Mahima, the glories of Sri Gauranga. But one who accepts the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Nitya Siddha, means eternally liberated, is certain to be elevated to the spiritual kingdom, to become an associate of the Supreme Lord. One should know that Gauramandala Bhumi, the place in Bengal where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed, are equal to Brajabhumi or Vrindavan Dham. There's no difference between the inhabitants of Vrindavan and those inhabitants of Gauramandala Bhumi or Sridham Mayapur. Srila Prabhupada said, all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are Nitya Siddhas, are eternally perfect. Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram, the immediate expansion of Krishna. Advaita Prabhu is Mahavishnu, he's also Vishnu Tattva. Gadardhar Prabhu is an expansion of Radharani. And Srivas is the incarnation of Narada. They are all Nitya Siddha, are eternally perfect. They're never imperfect. They're never in contact with material contamination. We should understand, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself is transcendental. Similarly, his personal associates are also Nitya Siddha, are eternally transcendental. So simply by accepting the associates of Lord Chaitanya are eternally free, then one can immediately be promoted to the transcendental abode of Sri Krishna. So that's the little I can say about this beautiful pastime. Of course, there's many intricate, you know, esoteric explanations here and there, but I've kind of keeping to the simple ones that my little brain can understand as best it can and share those with you today. But maybe some of you may have some other pastimes you might like to share. Or otherwise, yes? Just wait for the pet, because
we heard that when Janavi Mata was performing the first Gorpurnima festival in Katuri, even though the Panchatattva had left, they all reappeared for that festival.
Yeah, that's a fact. That was so amazing. I mean, there's quite an elaborate description of this first Gorpurnima festival. People were lining up, then there wasn't any more room, so they were like even in the water, you know. That would happen also during the festival of the chipped rice. There wasn't any room, there would be. And unbeknown to most of them, but to a few of them, the Lord came and the full Panchatattva appeared before them. So those persons who were so fortunate to have this darshan were in a very high level state of ecstasy. I don't know. Not everybody could see, just like not everybody could see Krishna speaking to Arjuna during the battlefield of Kurukshetra. You know. Only those persons who are highly liberated and free from any material contamination or desires will have that good fortune. It's just like here we all are, and here's Krishna, here's Lord Ram, you know. And what are we seeing, you know? Prabhupada was seeing them. He was speaking to them, and they would speak to him, you know. But he assured us, when we are fully purified, we will also be able to speak with him face to face. Anybody have anything else to? She's raising her hand. Are you going to say something? She's stretching. No. She was stretching her arm.
Could you comment on why Siddha Devi had to go through so much tribulation? Is it
That's
a reflection?
An eternal question. Why did they have to go through so much tribulation? Tribulation. The Lord glorifies his devotees in many unique ways and unique pastimes. Through that pastime, just see how Hanuman was glorified. And just see how much, even though it was so painful for those who were having to observe it, see how much Sita was glorified. You know. I mean, I know devotees, they're really good devotees, but when they hear this pastime of Sita Ram, when Lord Ramchandra, first he banishes his wife, right? And she's pregnant. I mean, God, nowadays they'd probably take him to prison, you know, although no prison could contain him, you know. But these pastimes are just, you know, they're beyond our comprehension. And even if they're explained, we're not going to get it exactly. So this went to a devotee. To this day, she's angry. She's so mad at Ram. But actually, it's very sweet. to have this anger because it's connected to Ram. Just like anything connected to Krishna is very sweet. But it's very difficult. Just like when Upendra asked Srila Prabhupada, this is like 67, Lord Jagannath has come, and he was telling, now you have to feed them. He told me to get a plate. So the silver plate that no one's eaten from. And everything that you offer, must be offered to him in this plate. And, imagine a bunch of foolish people. Like, this is in March, early April. Actually, it was March 24th of 67. So we're into this whole Krishna consciousness not even for 3 months yet. Not 3 full months, So what can we understand? And Prabhupada knew that. So when he asked, how is he going to eat it? Prabhupada, look, he said, that you cannot understand. But then he told him, which made it even more confusing. He says, he can eat with his elbow. He can eat with his knee. He can taste everything simply by glancing. That you cannot understand. One young devotee was writing to Srila Prabhupada so many questions. She had an ability to really, she read things and she'd have questions. Prabhupada would patiently answer them, sometimes, 4 or 5 questions and one later. But in one time after such a letter with so many questions, he said, the best thing for you is if you chant Hare Krishna more, and all of these things will be revealed to you in time. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for the class. Many, many years ago, I remember when I was a child, my father's favorite text.
For some reason, I'm having a hard time hearing you. Maybe put the mic more.
Yes. My father's favorite text was the Valmiki Ramayana. And I want to share something which he told me a very long time ago. So when Sita Mata returned back to Ayodhya, she said to Lord Ram, I don't really like it here. And he said, why? And she said, in the forest, I was surrounded by your devotees.
Yeah, that's such a wonderful. Yeah.
So in the Valmiki Ramayana, Sita Mata, she says to Lord Ramchandra that I don't want my children to be raised in a palace where the mode of passion predominates.
Yeah.
So please let me go back to the forest so that I can raise my children amongst your devotees. And when they were earlier in Dandakaranya, Lord Ram had bestowed his blessings to Maharishi Valmiki. And there's a particular verse that Madhva Acharya quotes. He says, Kujantam Rama Rameti Madhuram Madhuraksharam Aruhya Kavita Shakham Vande Valmiki Kokilam. He says that Maharishi Valmiki is actually an example of somebody who demonstrated how the holy name can make you liberated while in this very body.
Yeah.
So Valmiki Rishi, as we all know, recited the name of Lord Ramachandra, and from being an absolutely fallen soul, he became so liberated that he was able to read the mind of the characters of the Ramayana and put it into inscription. So Sita Mataji, she wanted to go back to the forest in order to bestow her association to someone like Valmiki, who had become, at that point, in Treta Yuga, he was the Namacharya. Because by reciting the name of Lord Ram, he had become so pure that Aruhya Kavita Shakam, he was able to transcend this world and enter into Sakyadham while being in Ayodhya, in earth. So there's actually also other reasons why Sita Mataji went back to the forest to raise her children amongst devotees in the mode of goodness, beyond the mode of goodness, and Lav and Kush, they were raised as devotees of Lord Ramchandra by Valmiki himself, who taught them the Ramayana, who then, as Mother Malati said, returned back to Ayodhya to perform the very first Sankirtan. So in Treta Yuga, you have Valmiki, the Namacharya, you have Lav and Kush, who are doing the first ever Sankirtan. So it's a very good example on how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Srila Prabhupada's movement existed in different yugas, not just in Kali Yuga, but also in Treta, and you have similar examples in Dwapur as well. So I was just remembering, Mother, that this story taught me how the Holy Name is so powerful at all times, even in Treta Yuga, and Valmiki Rishi is a very good example how one can become liberated and a pure devotee while in this very body. I just wanted to share that.
You should have given the class. Thank you so much.
Just your servant, Mother.
There's another
Thank you, Mataji, for this wonderful class. I remember also when...
Were you giving the class yesterday?
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, I was attended on online, as we say nowadays.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One time, Ramachandra, he was passing... This was during Treta Yuga in Navadvip with Sita also. So they were traveling there in the Navadvip. And then Lord Ramachandra was smiling. And Sita asked, "Why are you smiling?" And he said, "In Kali Yuga, I will appear here in the Navadvip." And then Sita was thinking, okay. And then he said, "But I will take sannyas." And Sita Mata was not so happy about it. If you're going to take sannyas, why are you telling me about it? And then he said, "No, in this pastime here, I'll be staying in a city in Ayodhya, and you'll be going to the forest. But in the pastime of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, you will be staying in the city, I'll have to go to the forest, take sannyas." And also in Treta Yuga, to do the yajna, I'll have to have your murti also. Yeah. Like you mentioned, you had to make a murti of Sita to do the yajna. But in Kali Yuga, you will be staying in the city, and you will have my murti. So this is how... what's the name? Mahaprabhu's wife, having the murti, Dhameshwar Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. Hare Krishna. The Mahaprabhu ki.
Anyone else? There's some hands.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Mahaprabhu, Prabhu, for the wonderful class. I thought I'll just share this point because it came up why the Lord went through so many tribulations. So this very famous pastime of Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva, after hearing, Lord Shiva is always meditating on the holy name, is listening to the Lord's pastimes. So he just, I think he was with Angira Muni or some very great saintly personalities, and he and Sati, who is his wife, Parvati Devi, they were going walking back to to the Kailash mountain. And while this was happening, Lord Ramchandra, Sita Devi was already stolen by Ravana, and Lord Ramchandra, because he was performing the pastime of a prince, so he was crying, and as is mentioned in the Ramayana, that he was in so much pain that he was going and asking the trees, going and asking all the animals and birds in the forest, that, "Have you seen my dear Sita?" And he was crying. So when Lord Shiva saw this, he just paid his obeisances, and Parvati Devi ji was kind of confused, why is Lord Shiva, the great Lord Shiva, he is paying his obeisances to just a prince who is so, you can say, in illusion, that he is asking trees, "Where is my wife? Have you seen my wife?" So then Lord Shiva says, "You don't know, he is the Supreme Personality himself, but he is just doing this pastime to, you can say, eliminate the demoniac forces in this planet. So, but for some reason, Mother Parvati didn't accept this fact, you know. So then Lord Shiva said, okay, fine. If you are not sure about this, why don't you go and check for yourself? And I'll wait under this tree till you do your test. So Mother Parvati, she takes the form of Sita Devi. She goes in front of Lord Ram, thinking that, oh, he's just a normal prince. So he might like just see, oh, my Sita, you have come back. And he might start crying or something like that. So when Parvati Devi actually approached Lord Ram, in the form of Mother Sita, Lord Ram could actually see, because he's a Supreme Personality himself. So he said, I paid my obeisances to Mother Parvati. And why are you here without Lord Shiva? Like, why are you wandering in the forest alone? So then Mother Parvati could understand, actually, he's the Supreme Personality himself. And then this is like very, you can say, very amazing pastime, that when Mother Parvati saw Lord Ram walking away, she could see that Mother Sita was still there, and all the denizens of heavenly planets, they were offering flowers. So Ram, Lakshman, Sita, they were actually still there, but as you correctly mentioned, that the illusionary form of Sita was stolen away by Ravana. So for our eyes, it might seem that Sita has been stolen, but the eternal pastime, Sita Devi was always there with Lord Ram. So I just wanted to share this.
Thank you very much. Yeah.